few weeks back, you know, I went to one of my favorite salon, hair salon in Mumbai. And I just love this lady who owns this because she's very quirky, she's loud, she's very straightforward. And, you know, so I just walk in and she opened the door and we just hugged each other. And, you know, I just sat on the corner of the sofa. And then she said, you know what, today's my birthday. And she's a young lady, okay? So I said, I just hugged her just like a new city way. I just hugged her and I said, oh, happy birthday and all of that. And she was very happy. She's like, she's very, very happy. Okay? And I was just waiting for my turn. And she suddenly turned around and looked at me and said, you know what? I have booked my tickets, our tickets, me and my husband's tickets to Thailand. I said, oh, wow. Okay. And he doesn't know about it. I said, oh, wow. And then she said, what are the best places to go in Thailand? Not that I've been to Thailand, but she just asked me. So I just knew a few places. And I just told her, this is the place you can go. And she asked me, what are the things I shouldn't be doing? I said, I don't know. You know. So, you know, the conversation continued. And then suddenly there was a flowers of bouquet that came. And suddenly you should see her face. She was like, behaving like a five-year-old, you know, jumping up and down. And I was like just looking at her, such a beautiful expression, you know, this young lady was just, you know, playing out. And this is not it, okay? Suddenly, you must all hear this. Then came a stray dog, literally stray dog. And I thought she's going to shoo off the dog, but she opened the door and she said, come. And I'm like, I was shocked, okay, because it was completely a stray dog with a lot of skin infection and half the hair is gone. And she was just petting, and this is the conversation she was doing. She was just petting and she was like saying, you have come to me because you want to wish me on my birthday, right? And then she kept on talking to the dog. See, I'm not against dogs. Not that I love them, I'm indifferent, okay? So just that. I was just quietly watching the entire thing that's being played out. I'm not against celebrating any birthdays or anniversaries, okay? I love them and I think we all should celebrate, we should thank God for the day, we should remember those days first of all, okay? So all this was happening, one thing to me was very obvious. She was a self-worshipper. It was obvious that she liked to be celebrated and worshipped. Is it only her? Is it only her who enjoys self-worship? Don't we all worship ourselves? We all do to a various degrees, right? So my goal this morning is to share with us what happens when we indulge in self-worship and how Jesus can heal us of this self-worship and transform us. So we are going to look at, I'm so sorry again for the projection thing. We are going to look at a chapter called John. It was written by John, one of the disciples of Jesus. Chapter 4, 5 to 42. Okay, it's a long chapter. It's a very long chapter. So what I've done is, it's a conversation between Jesus and the Samaritan woman. So what I've requested is Anand to read the Jesus part of it and Madhu to help me with the Samaritan. So it's almost going to be like, you know, they're going to dialogue to each other.
So Jesus came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of the ground David had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about noon. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into the town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him,
"You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans." Jesus answered her,
"If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water."
"Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his livestock?"
Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life."
The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water."
He told her, "Go call your husband and come back."
"I have no husband," she replied.
Jesus said to her, "You're right when you say you have no husband. The fact is, you have had 5 husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you have just said is quite true."
"Sir," the woman said, "I can see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem."
"Woman," Jesus replied, "believe me, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshippers will worship the Father in the Spirit and in truth. For they are the kind of worshippers the Father seeks. God is Spirit, and his worshippers must worship him in the Spirit and in truth."
The woman said, "I know that Messiah called Christ is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us."
Then Jesus declared, "I, the one speaking to you, I am he." Then, just then, his disciples returned and were surprised to find him talking with a woman, but no one asked, "Or why are you talking with her?" Then, leaving her water jar, the woman went back to the town and said to the people,
"Come, see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Messiah?" They came out of the town and made their way toward him.
Meanwhile, his disciples urged him, "Rabbi, eat something." But Jesus said to them, "I have food to eat that you know nothing about." Then his disciples said to each other, "Could someone else have brought him food?" "My food," Jesus said, "is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Don't you have a saying, 'It's still 4 months until harvest'? I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest. Even now, the one who reaps draws a wage and harvests a crop for eternal life, so that the sower and the reaper may be glad together. Thus the saying, 'One sows, another reaps,' is true. I sent you to reap what you have not worked for. Others have done the hard work, and you have reaped the benefits of their labor."
Many of the Samaritans from the town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. "He told me everything I ever did." So when the Samaritans came to him, they urged him to stay with him, and he stayed 2 days. And because of his words, many more became believers. They said to the woman, "We no longer believe just because of what you said. Now we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this man really is the Savior of the world."
Can we just pray before we dive in? Jesus, we just want to thank you, Lord. You cross all boundaries, Father, just to save us, just to redeem us, just to show your love to us. This morning, Lord, I pray that you will show yourself and you will show our hearts, Lord, every one of us, including me, just to love you more and more, Father. We give ourselves and commit ourselves into your hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, so I would like to present just 2 thoughts from this passage. One is, self-worship leads to discontentment and fruitlessness. And 2, Jesus can turn our miserable self-absorption into joyful self-abandonment. This is a serious conversation Jesus, the Son of God, and the Samaritan woman, they're having. Even if you haven't read the Bible ever, I'm sure what we've just read gave you a glimpse of the Samaritan woman's life. So I don't have to explain to you about her lifestyle. Just to give you a brief background to our friends who are not followers of Christ here, from this passage we know there are two types of people. One is Jew, the other one is Samaritan. It's believed that, you know, Jews hated Samaritan. And the Samaritan peoples were half Jewish. That means one parent was Jewish and the other parent was a foreigner. Because they were half Jewish, Samaritans believed only part of the Jewish custom or the religion. And Jews believed the Samaritans were unclean before God's eyes. Therefore, most Jews would never travel through Samaria. They would travel way out of their way to avoid getting near to Samaritan person. So the first thing I would like us to consider this morning is self-worship leads to this discontentment and fruitlessness. We can see that, you know, it's a very serious conversation between Jesus and the Samaritan woman. Jesus is talking something that's more of a spiritual implication. But when we read this carefully, we can also see the Samaritan woman is making it all about herself. You know, she's completely missing the plot. Jesus is talking about the gift of God, that is eternal life. It's a gift because we cannot save ourselves. We can do nothing to save ourselves. It's a gift because it's given to us freely, and God wants us to be saved and preserved for eternity. Let's see how Jesus is beautifully turning the conversation to show her own heart, you know, of self-worship. Basically, what Jesus was doing is he was contextualizing the whole thing so that she can understand what he's deriving at, what he's talking to her. Let's look at verse 13 to 16. Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and to have to keep coming here to draw water." He told her, "Go, call your husband and come back." Can you see the shift? The new focus on her husband and the marital status seems abrupt, right? Out of place. It was raised suddenly with no connection. But why did Jesus change this conversation? This woman who stood face to face with Jesus, God's own son, the perfect bridegroom to come, yet she did not know who he was. As always, Jesus knew this woman's deepest need. Very often, Jesus used things that people could see to explain the heavenly things that they couldn't see. What was her deepest need? A companion? A friend? Or a husband? Of course, yes. But more than any of this, she needed a lover of her soul, the perfect and the true bridegroom. Just to give the benefit of doubt, she could have been a divorcee. She could have been, a widow where all her five husbands died. The Bible is not clear about this part. But one thing is very obvious to us, that she now lives with a man who is not her husband. That is quite telling. But most likely, the issue she couldn't stay with one man for any long time. One of the consequences of self-worship is high expectation from others and thinking only about us. when a self-worshipper is not celebrated or their expectations are not met, they move from one person to another where they get all the attention and the celebration. This happens in all kinds of relationship. It happens with friends. It happens in all kinds of relationship. The man who was living with was not her husband, that tells us that she was not bothered about the culture. She wasn't bothered about what the society thinks. She wasn't bothered about what her family would think. She wasn't bothered about her identity. This happened some 2,000 years back. What's the scenario now? What is with us? What's happening in our lives? Whether or not we are followers of Christ, we all love to be celebrated and to some extent worshipped, and all of us without exception indulge in it too. One simple exercise we can do to know whether we have this issue or not is our social media habits. Okay? Post anything on the social media and refrain yourself from seeing your likes and our likes and dislikes for 1 hour. Is it possible? Of course it is possible. But is it hard to do it? Yes, it is hard. You know, we keep going back to our post again and again and again. Why? I did that yesterday night, even as I was preparing for this. You know? So, you know, we keep doing this again and again. How many of us feel happy when we when our likes crosses certain numbers? Or how many of us, you know, feel overwhelmed or a sense of recognition when some of the people, you know, that we love and respect like or comment our post? We do, right? Why? We would like to be celebrated and worshipped. This is just an example. For someone, it could be a relationship. We would expect our spouses to say, "You're doing a good job." You know, or it could be, for someone, it could be our boss is saying, affirming us before our peers and our subordinates, and, you know, "You're doing a good job." Or for some of us, it could be, "I have earned so much," to show that before our cousins and say, "See, I have built all this." You know, sometimes even pity is another form of self-worship. We draw our attention when we feel pity. The self-pity is a sort of a form of self-worship. Just like the Samaritan woman and the young lady I said from the saloon, we all are self-worshippers. If our focus is only on us, you know, slowly we'll become oblivious to others and their needs. You know, we all know nothing of this world or from this world would ever satisfy us. Self-worship consumes us and it leaves us with no purpose. Finally, what it does is self-worship leads to discontentment and fruitlessness. Samaritan woman couldn't recognize Jesus, the Son of God, and the perfect bridegroom. Just like her, sometimes we are so caught up with our everyday life, everyday challenges, we fail to see Christ every single day, every single moment in our lives. I'm sure you all must have seen, at least seen rocking chair, which is one of my favorite, or you must have rocked on it, you know. So imagine, you know, if you're sitting on the rocking chair and you're rocking, whether you're rocking it slowly or fast, it doesn't matter. There is a momentum that happens, right? You're, you know, going back and forth. There is something that's happening, correct? And we believe we are moving an inch. It seems to us we are going back and forth and moving an inch. But actually, we wouldn't have moved even an inch from the rocking chair. It looks like it's rocking us, but we wouldn't have moved an inch. This self-worship, it's exactly like that. We think, you know, that momentary affirmation from our boss, you know, momentary affirmation from our spouses, and even the Facebook likes and comments, we think we are moving ahead and we are, you know, going ahead, but it's all momentary. We are still staying where we are if we don't have Christ as our anchor. Few things before we move to the next part of the sermon. To all our single friends, I would say this. I would like to submit this, whether we are followers of Christ or not. Marriage is a beautiful thing God has ordained for us, to all mankind. But don't waste your time looking for that perfect groom who would always only celebrate you. That's a form of self-worship. Instead, think, what can I give in this relationship? Because just like us, there are no perfect man or woman. Only in Jesus we can find that perfect bridegroom. The Samaritan woman maybe tried to find one such perfect man, but she failed again and again and again. For all of us who are married, I would like to submit this. Jesus is the perfect and the true bridegroom who is dancing over us and waiting to be celebrated for eternity. It is, if we expect our spouses to celebrate us all the time, we are setting ourselves for a big disappointment. Tim Keller, just like Anand just said, he's one of my favorite pastor and author of many books. He said this, prayer gives us relief from the melancholy burden of self-absorption. This is a second thing I would like to draw from the passage. Jesus can turn our miserable self-absorption to joyful self-abandonment. The woman had no idea who she was talking to. She started her conversation with Jesus with questions and complaints. She didn't recognize that the ultimate and the most fulfilling subject and object of all her adoration and celebration was standing right before her eye. She failed to understand. So what led to the Samaritan woman's transformation? We see she was so self-absorbed in the beginning. She had questions, she was complaining. And then at the end, we also see she just goes into the village and she shares that what happens between that. That's exactly what we are going to look at in this now. And Jesus, who took one more step forward and he was revealing himself to the man. Let's look at verse 26. Jesus declared, I who speak to you, I am he. This verse was the last sentence in the conversation Jesus had with Samaritan woman. Finally, Jesus said, I who speak to you, I am he. I am he. This was the powerful statement she was waiting to hear all her life. Jesus is telling that he was the man she was looking for all her life. Not in a romantic sense, but in a deeply spiritual sense, because Jesus, the eternal I am, the only one who can bring us to a place of completion. This is one of the few times Jesus revealed he was a Messiah to a foreigner. At that moment, she believed Jesus is the savior of her soul. She knew she needed a redeemer to redeem her messed up life. What did she do? When she heard that word, she left everything. She left everything and went to her village and to her community and shared what about her encounter with Jesus. Let's read what she shared. Verse 29. Come, see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Christ? Notice two things here. First, when she discovered Jesus, her self-absorption turns into a self-abandonment. She's no longer thinking about herself. She wants to help others by telling about Jesus. Second, she's not constrained by what people would think of her. She was publicly declaring what she has done in her life so far to the community. It's not easy. She was publicly saying, I have done all this, and he knew about this. It's not easy to say that. Verse 29. Come out and see. Come, see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Christ? Her reputation would have already been at stake because of her lifestyle. This woman who was obsessed with self-worship didn't worry about her identity. She didn't care what her family or her friends or neighbors would think about her, but she cared enough. She cared enough to share the gospel love to her community. She couldn't contain the joy to herself. She wants to be a herald to proclaim the love to her community. What a transformation. What a transformation. My goal this morning is to drive home just two things. His presence transforms us from being self-worshippers to a worshipper of the living God. When we worship God truly, we will become other-centric. It's a process. Give it time. But it will happen because of His sheer grace. Two, Jesus displays His glory to the world through messed up like us. How interesting, right? Both are the central themes in the series we are doing, The Grace of God and the Flaws of Men. We will resume that series a week after next. Jesus never approached people randomly or casually, but as always a possible bearers of witness to Him to the world. An outcast, a single woman, a woman who had five husbands, was now living with a man who was not her husband, was the one Jesus chose to bring down a town in Samaria. And the people said, "We have heard for ourselves and we know that this is truly the Savior of the world." Jesus chose this woman to display His glory to her community. Later from the verse we can read how many people from this village believed in Jesus. It's not who we were. It's not how we lived our lives before that matters to God. What matters is that who we are right now in Christ. That matters. This would give us freedom and boldness to witness to the world. In closing, I would like to say this. There's more to it. How does the presence of Jesus change us from self-absorption to self-abandonment? This is the verse from 28 to 34. Then, leaving her water jar, the women went back to the town and said to the people, "Come, see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Messiah?" They came out. They listened. They came out of the town and they made their way toward Him. Meanwhile, His disciples urged Him, "Rabbi, eat something." But He said to them, "I have food to eat that you know nothing about." Then His disciples said to each other, "Could someone have brought Him food?" "My food," said Jesus, "is to do the will of Him who sent me and to finish His work." Let's look at verse 6. Just scroll up a little bit and we know that Jesus, tired as He was from the journey, sat down by the well. Can you imagine the Son of God? Jesus was tired and was thirsty. In the entire conversation, there is no record of Jesus getting a drink of water. Jesus probably went thirsty that afternoon. When Jesus said He was thirsty, He abandoned Himself already. I want us to imagine, you know, the creator of this, the beautiful universe, the creator of us, you and me, sitting near the well because He was tired and He was thirsty. In that moment, He abandoned Himself. This thirst of Jesus was perhaps pointing to another dreaded thirst He would later endure on the cross. I would like to read that verse for us And this is what happened on the cross. John 19:28-30. Later, knowing that all was not now completed, and so that the scripture would be fulfilled, Jesus said, I am thirsty. He's saying it here, I am thirsty on the cross. A jar of wine vinegar was there. So they soaked a sponge on it, put the sponge on a stalk of the hyssop plant and lifted it to Jesus' lips. When he had received the drink, Jesus said, it is finished. With that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. On that cross, when Jesus asked for water, they gave him wine vinegar instead of water. Jesus, who is worthy of all our worship, adoration, celebration, did not receive any of it on the cross. But Jesus endured being abandoned by his Father, so that you and me can be celebrated for eternity. Only when we see how Jesus was abandoned on the cross, we have the courage to embrace self-abandonment, to bless our city, to bless this community, and to bless our family. We need to look at this cross where he self-abandoned. He abandoned himself. This would give us the courage. And we need to look at this cross every day. And that is why CBR is so important to us. This would encourage us. This would give us courage, boldness, freedom to abandon ourselves. Thank you.